My goodness, where's everyone gone? There's a group of the American team gone up with the Stomp and Chomp kids, youth. They're kidding me for saying kids. There's loads going down with the kids downstairs, and we have the privilege of hearing Daryl preach. So, Daryl, will you come and bring us God's word?
Hey, great to be here at Liberty. How many felt the presence of Jesus yesterday? I've decided that life is too short to be anywhere else than in the presence of Jesus. I've been at some churches and ministry events and some good things, but I didn't sense the presence of Jesus. Yesterday, Jesus was there, and you were the messengers of Jesus. Now, I don't think today should be any different. I believe we're in the presence of Jesus. He said, where two or three are gathered, there's lots more. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people, and so we've praised him. So Jesus is here. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is here. Now, how many have seen Jesus with your own eyes today? Okay? So it takes faith to know Jesus is here. Is that right? It took faith to pull off the big outreach yesterday. It takes faith to come and worship him. And I believe God is calling us to be faith-filled followers of Jesus Christ. Everybody say that. Faith-filled followers. Now, I don't think I'd rather be in any other pulpit than my own right now. It's hard for a pastor to be away from his own flock, but there's a heart connection somehow. The team has talked about it with the spirit of this church and congregation and your pastor and Sharon. And what you saw yesterday was the heart of a man and woman of God, the vision that God has put on this pastor and his wife. And I think we ought to show him a big God bless you. Can we do that? Man, they've blessed us and they've fed us. And that banoffee, hallelujah. I felt the Holy Spirit when I ate the banoffee. I met Pastor Noel when I was doing youth camps here years ago. He came out and was so kind. I think Patrice was at one of those camps. She survived 5 nights of my preaching, so you'll survive just a half hour. I promise you'll get through this. But it's just a delight to be a part of their family. This is an amazing gift to this church and to Dublin, I believe. Open your Bibles to Hebrews. I had a message prepared, one of those you've already preached, and yesterday after the event, I just slid into the floor and wrote some notes down that God had put on my heart after yesterday, and I just want to share these briefly with you today. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to go. I got to say, we were shocked to see the Teagues downstairs. These are some of our heroes. Shelley's from Bartlesville, our community, great missionaries. This is my Indiana Jones missionary. He's been shot. They're in the middle of Civil War. He's still telling people about Jesus. They're amazing. We got to give it up for them one more time just for being here today on their holiday. Bob told him about you. Now he's got to hear me preach. I'm sorry, brother. If you'll say amen, I'll book a service for you here before we leave today. Faith-filled followers. Have you ever gotten a dessert or a donut or a pastry and it looked really good, but you took a bite and it was filled with something, filled with jelly or chocolate or filled with something delicious, and you just had to say, hallelujah. Yeah, I've had one of those experiences. I believe God is speaking to some faith-filled followers to let our faith arise to the next level. When we arrived at that field this week, it took faith to imagine what was going to happen. The weeds and the grass this high, trash and bottles everywhere. It took faith to envision it. And for the next few moments, I want to let God speak to you about what your life and ministry and family and marriage is supposed to look like, not through these eyes, but through the eyes of faith. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, if you'll stand up one more time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We don't know who wrote this book for sure, but it was written to a bunch of Jewish Christians who were new in their faith. And it's an amazing explanation of the sacrifice of Jesus. And in this chapter, we call it the Hall of Faith. You've heard of Halls of Fames. These are men and women listed here that were generals in the faith. And Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Let's read this together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's read it one more time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus, would you help us in these few moments? You've called us to be people of faith. Forgive us for walking by sight. Forgive us for walking by finance. Forgive us for walking by our own ingenuity and our smarts and our creativity. Forgive us for not walking by faith, and call us to a higher level today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you just skip five verses, you go down to verse 6, I want you to see this. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you know to please God, you have to have faith? My wife's name is Faith. When I met her, I thought, please God, I better marry that beautiful young woman. The just shall live by faith. And so here we are. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we're to believe that God wants to reward you because you're diligently seeking him. Sometimes we can believe, yeah, God wants to bless Pastor Kenny. God wants to bless Billy Graham. But does God really want to bless me? Yes. He's a heavenly father that loves to give good gifts to his children. Can you see through the eyes of faith that God wants to bless you and take you to another level in the spirit? We were here some years ago, as Pastor Noel said, and when we arrived, this building was just an open shell. There was not a floor here. There was not a floor here. There were no walls. In fact, that's what it looked like. Noel and I had fewer gray hairs. This is what pastoring will do to you. This gray hair is him, and this gray hair is her. But we came, and we thought, and I didn't say this, but I thought, what are they going to do with this building? Now, we asked Tomo where the blueprint was, and Tomo said, it's right up here. That scared us, but that was faith. But when I met Noel here, he began to describe the building on that day like it already existed. He said, the worship center is going to be here on the second floor, and then there's going to be classrooms over here, and there's going to be a kitchen here, and he began to point. He saw it in faith, and as we walked up on Wednesday, Billy and Mike and Clarence and some of the ladies who had been here before, they began to weep. I turned around, and I started crying too, because they hadn't seen the finished product, and we walked up here, and oh my goodness, it took faith to see it. God put in the heart of Noel and Sharon what this place was going to look like, and now we experience it. God put in the heart of the leaders and your pastor what it was going to look like over there. And we saw it yesterday. Now, I don't believe God's through with yesterday or today. God's got greater things for you and for this church and for Liberty. I told my team every time we walked around that property over there, I said, pray this. Everywhere we step, God's going to give Liberty Church that property. How many have faith enough to believe that? I believe it's going to be given to you. Everywhere we stepped yesterday. Now, just real quick, I want to go through this chapter. We'll go through it very quickly. And just point out three things that will help us be faith-filled in our lives and in our spirits. There's a list of people that goes through here, of men and women. One was a prostitute. Some were murderers. But God used them because they had faith in God. Now, the first truth is, if you want to be faith-filled believer, is that faith requires all of your nothing. How many ever felt like nothing? You ever looked like at a man of God like this and thought, man, I'm not going to ever amount to anything. I don't know. Boy, as a pastor, I hear this all the time. Pastor, I'd like to be involved in missions, but I have nothing in my bank account. Pastor, I'd like to teach this small group, but I have nothing in my resume. I don't have a degree, or I don't have this qualification, or I don't have this. Sometimes I talk to husbands and wives, and they say, we have nothing in common. Maybe I should put it this way. All God needs from you is your nothing. Now, Hebrews 11:3 says this. By faith, God took nothing, and he spoke, and there everything was. By his word, by faith we understand this, that he spoke, and the very earth and all of creation, boom, there it was. What does God need to make an amazing universe filled with the sunrise and filled with the sunset and the rainbows and the beauty of Ireland and this world? What does he need? Absolutely nothing. Now, man, we think we're smart and scientists are amazing. Brent's brother is a great friend of mine and one of the most brilliant scientists and medical scientists I've ever met. He's a brilliant guy. And thank God for all of our intelligence and wisdom that comes from heaven above. But our intelligence is still not equal to the foolishness of God. Corinthians says. I heard a story that with all the cloning and all the gene therapies and all the research of DNA, that a couple scientists decided that they didn't need God anymore. So they went to God and they said, "We don't need you anymore. We can do anything you can do and even better." And God said, "Okay, let's have a contest." So these two scientists said, "We'll make life just like you can make life." God said, "Okay, let's try it." So the scientists got ready and God got ready and God looked over at the scientists and they had a bucket of dirt. They were getting ready to create life from dirt, and God looked over at him and said, "No, no, no, you get your own dirt." God needs nothing, right? Does he have your nothing? Paul said it like this: in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Man, perhaps today you're sick in your body. God's healing. Do you have faith that God's healing can come? And yesterday we had supernatural healings. Your marriage is just a wreck. Do you have faith that God, the great physician, can come and heal that and bring it to a place that you've never experienced before? Your finances, I don't know where to get a job. God is our provider. Do you have faith in the provider? I have nothing. Good, because that's all you need is nothing. Noah talks about here in this chapter. Guess what he had as an example? Nothing. No one had ever built a boat before. God tells him to go build a boat. What for? It's going to rain. When? A long time from now. Noah had nothing. He didn't have a mentor. He didn't have a Bible college to go off to. He didn't have a boating school. He had nothing, but he had faith in God, and God used it. It's an amazing story. Abraham had nothing. He was nobody. His name was Abram, but he had faith in God, and God changed his name. God changed his life. God changed history because one man had faith. You're no different. Where's your faith? Listen, if you're full of faith, you're not going to be full of fear. If we turn on the lights, the darkness leaves. If you have faith, fear goes. I've never met a faith-filled follower of Jesus Christ that's complaining all the time. Never met him. I've never met a faith-filled follower of Jesus Christ that's grumbling all the time. I've met faith-filled people that are full of joy and praise, and you were that this morning as we worship God. I ask you, having given God your nothing, what is he calling you to do? Pastor, I don't feel qualified. Good, because he needs your nothing. The second thing he needs is this. He needs your obedience. Faith requires all of your obedience. If you look down later in chapter 11, it goes to Abraham and Sarah, and they messed things up. They wanted to have children so bad. Some of you have experienced that, a desire to have children, and it, just for whatever reason, children didn't come. Abraham and Sarah, they were told they were going to have a child, but Sarah got impatient, and she tried to figure it out. So she let Abraham go off with Hagar, the servant, and they had a baby named Ishmael. Listen, when you're disobedient to God, you'll mess the plan up. God requires all of your obedience. The truth is, Abraham and Sarah got ahead of God. They didn't have their faith completely in God. They weren't completely faith-filled, and they messed it up to this day. Ishmael and Isaac's descendants are still rumbling and feuding. Are you being faith-filled? Are you being obedient to what God has called you to do? The Bible says God called Abraham to go out into a place where he didn't even know, didn't have a map, didn't have a GPS. He didn't have Google Maps. And he went, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. It requires obedience. Abraham was called to take his son to an altar, to sacrifice that son before the Lord. And yet he was so faith-filled that the Bible says that he knew the word of God could not be untrue. And the word of God had spoken that Isaac, through Isaac, that seed, the world was going to be blessed. He had so much faith in the word of God that the Bible says that he knew God would raise Isaac up from the dead because God cannot lie. If God has spoken to you, are you faith-filled to believe it? Are you believing the lies of the enemy? Listen, the devil will get in your ear. He will get in your mind. He'll get in your head. The only place for the devil and a faith-filled follower is right here. He's under your feet. That's the only place there's room for the devil. If he's in your ear, pull him out. He needs to be under your feet. Abraham took up Isaac to that altar, and you know the story. God provided a ram to sacrifice, and God is our provision. But I'm asking you, have you given him your full obedience? Perhaps something in your life that needs to go, or perhaps something in your life needs to come in. Are you listening to God and are you obeying? Because faith-filled followers have to have nothing offered to God. We just give everything to you, Lord, and they have to have obedience. The third thing is this. God requires all of our patience. I'm pretty good with faith. I like that. I married her. This patience thing, I stink at, brother. Coming over, we got delayed in every airport we were there. I'm impatient. The bus is late. I'm impatient. But faith requires patience. In fact, if you go back just a few chapters to Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about Abraham, and it says, through faith and patience, he inherited the promise. You got faith? How many have faith today? How many are full of patience today? God, grant us patience so that we can be faith-filled followers of him. Doesn't matter if it was Noah or Abraham or Moses. Had to spend 40 years on the backside of a desert. And then 40 years in the desert listening to grumbling, complaining church members. Can I say this? This guy's got a vision. This man of God's got a vision for where this church needs to go. The quickest way to slow it down, the best way to slow it down is to let grumbling and complaining and gossip and pettiness and foolishness come into the body of Jesus Christ. Time is too short. Liberty's got a promised land to get to. And so we lift up our pastor's hands. I told Paul this morning, this felt like it was a word from the Lord. This guy's a Joshua. He's here to lift up the hands of his pastor. I've seen it all week. It's been amazing. And God, I believe, is calling some of you to come and uplift the hands and the arms of your pastor and his wife and this leadership team and the elders and to lift them up and to pray and say, you know what? Sometimes I think he's crazy, but that's all right. We're going to believe him because sometimes faith looks crazy. This building looked crazy when we were here last time. It's beautiful, the envy of churches around the world. That field looked crazy on Wednesday. It's beautiful. Can't always see what God's doing, can you? Sometimes you can maybe just to get a whisper of what it sounds like. So I was walking around the field on Wednesday. I heard the sound of trimmers and grass weed eaters and mowers. To me, that wasn't the sound of gasoline engines. That was the sound of redemption. It's the sound of faith. Heard the sound of brushes sweeping. Heard the sound of things being chopped. Heard the sounds of John doing Elvis. Thank you. Thank you very much. As he left the site, we said, Elvis has just left the site. We heard the jumpy castle sounds and the grills that so many of you, Mark and Billy and others, sweat over. Heard the sound of the grills and thought, that's the sound of grace and it's the sound of mercy. And if you listen real close, the sound of the presence of the Lord. I ask you today, took patience sometimes this week. We had to be flexible. We've had a beatitude at our church. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Are you faith-filled today? I'm going to ask Naomi to come up here. Paul said a word about Naomi. I just want you to know it's a miracle that she's here. It's faith that she's here. And I ask her if she'd just take a moment and share how this came about.
In 2006, I was diagnosed with cancer, ovarian cancer. And before they could get me to surgery, I got very, very ill. We didn't know why. They didn't want to do the surgery because they had an infection. And the doctor finally says, we can't wait for this infection to go. We've got to get her in now. And my family said that they didn't think I was going to make it. Some of them didn't think I were going to make it. But they did surgery. And a few days later, I come to my senses to know where I was at. And doctor told me that everything was fine, that they thought they got the biggest part of it. So then I had to take chemo and radiation, and God pulled me through it. But one day my grandson was praying for me, and he said that I would not die, but I would live. And I just took that as a word from God, and I've had a peace about it all this time, going through it, and God is just awesome. He'll bring you from almost death to life again, and I praise him for it, and I know that there's going to be more miracles around.
Amen. It's a woman of faith. We got the doctor's diagnosis. We were just devastated. And I remember she said, God spoke to me, and I'm going to walk by faith. I ask you today, are you walking by faith? If you go through Hebrews 11, maybe later today, it talks about great people. It talks about Abel. It talks about Enoch, who just was translated. All of a sudden, he was in God's presence. He never came back. That's pretty cool. It talks about Noah. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Sarah. It talks about Moses. It talks about Joseph, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It talks about the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab. Sometimes we think, oh, I got a past. God could never use me. God can use anybody that'll say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. I accept your salvation. I have faith in you, and I know you're going to reward me diligently. That's what Hebrews says. It talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and then it gets to the last part of the chapter because sometimes we think, yeah, faith looks like Abraham, and faith looks like Moses. But if you get to the last part of the chapter, it says, and others were stoned. Some of them at the rec center, I think, were stoned by kids this week as they were painting. But that's a different kind of stoning. They were sawn asunder. They wandered about, running for their lives. When you're full of faith, it doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. It means God's going to go through everything with you. I told you the Teagues are some of my heroes. This guy's been shot by terrorists. Been easy for him to go back to the States and write a book and do the circuit and whatever. You know what he did? I'm sure it was tough sitting in a hospital room, brother, as we were praying for you. He goes back to Africa and he tells the same people, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He's on a first-name basis with government officials because of his testimony and because of his faithfulness, and these are men and women of God. Sometimes we think, well, if you've got great faith, nothing's going to bad happen. No, sometimes you get shot for Jesus. But that's all right because God is with you. It's a miracle that he's worshiping right. It's a miracle that he's alive. It's God's hand. Now, listen, I'm going to wrap this up. I believe God's calling you to a higher level of faith. A higher level of faith. What is God calling you to do? Let me put it like this. Have you quit praying about something? Because if you've quit praying about something, you've given up. If you've quit praying about your husband or your wife or your kids that don't know Jesus, if you've quit praying about the dreams of this church, then you've given up. I've never met a praying person that's given up, and I've never met a person that's given up that's still praying. Those dreams that God put on your heart, are you still praying about it? Or have you given up? If you're full of faith, you're not giving up. God is looking for faith-filled followers. Faith-filled followers. If you want to be one, would you stand with me? Faith-filled follower. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence. Your Holy Spirit is so strong here as we worshiped you. This anointed praise team, bringing us into the very holy of holies where we can find grace, mercy in time of need. And Lord, I know in a crowd this size, there are so many needs. And the enemy tries to come and rip us off. The enemy tries to come and lie because he's the father of lies. That's his native language. But Lord, right now, by your Spirit, I pray that you would speak truth. Some of these men have dreams and visions so bold that they've been scared to even tell anybody. And Lord, I pray that you would let faith arise in them, Lord, that they would begin to speak it out. And God, that you would just confirm that word even today by your presence. Lord, some of these women are so full of faith, Lord, that they are full of your Holy Spirit, that they are going to do exploits for the kingdom of God. I pray today whatever circumstance has been discouraged, encouraging to them, Lord, that you would just let your power come upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for Liberty Church. You've raised up men and women full of faith. So we were here last time and preached in that upstairs building down in Rialto. God, I thank you, Lord, that we come back several years later and we see the hand of God, that you've raised up faith-filled followers, but you're calling us to the next level. God, I pray for supernatural visions and dreams upon the Kinneys, God. Lord, that you would let them continue to see the city as the harvest field that they've been called to. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you would let us see our names in the hall of faith. Because you didn't end it with Gideon and Barak and Samson. I believe as the history books have been extended that Charity Harris's name is in that hall of faith. A man that has affected me and Noel and Brent and so many others. Lord, we know that there's men and women that are going to be in the hall of faith because they've given you their nothing. They've been obedient. They've been patient to see your hand come to pass. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it takes faith to accept his gift of salvation. Just 2 weeks ago, you guys can look at me just for a second. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a devout Hindu show up at our church in Oklahoma. She came back after the service to meet me. I never met her before. Very sweet lady. Her first comment to me was, "Christianity is illogical." I said, "Exactly." She said, "It's very illogical that I'm here." I said, "Exactly. It's illogical because God gives us peace that passes all understanding." That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? God gives us stuff we don't deserve. That's illogical. She said, "But I know I'm supposed to be here today." She came back that night. The next week, she brought her dad. She's on a three-month internship she's a PhD doing chemistry research. She thinks she's there for chemistry. We know she's there for Jesus. Because it's illogical, and that's how good God is. And today, perhaps you've said, "What? Accept Jesus Christ, but this is too illogical. Faith is too illogical." That's the good stuff. Man, logical only goes so far. God's knowledge and wisdom and infinity is so much greater than ours understanding. Today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we just want to say Jesus is saying, "Welcome to the family. I've already died for your sins. Quit beating yourself up about the past. Accept my gift of salvation. I'm going to put you on a one-way road to the hall of faith. I'm going to make your life great. I'm going to redeem it." Man, Darrell Wooten, nothing. Wish I had time to tell you my testimony. Nothing. I'm just crazy enough to believe God and be obedient and have a little patience. That's all I got going. And a good wife, because behind any pastor that's any success at all, there's a surprised wife, and she's one of them. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I just want you to raise your hand high. Don't be embarrassed about it. Thanks. Thanks. Just keep your hand up just for a second. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, you see not hands, but you see our hearts. Lord, all of our hearts are so vile and sinful, Lord. We've done so many things. But, Lord, right now I just sense your Spirit coming. And your Spirit is washing those hearts white as snow. Lord, I pray your grace and mercy would come upon, Lord, my brothers and sisters who have raised their hand today. Lord, I pray that you would just let faith arise in them. In Jesus' name. Church, and those that raise their hand, can you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for dying for my sins, for rising again the third day. Would you come into my heart? Forgive me. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. The Bible says angels rejoice and celebrate. I think we ought to get in on the party. Can we celebrate? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.